Timely rescue. Our text today is Matthew 2, 13 to 23. Merry Christmas again. It's good to celebrate this Christmas season here. This is the first Sunday of Christmas. Some years we get two, some years we only get one. It's just how the calendar works. This year we get two. This is our first Sunday of the season of Christmas. Our focus in this season is on Christ and who he is. And you know, we focus on that every Sunday, I guess, in a way. But we're really focusing on his coming into the world and what that means for us. Who he is, what he has done for us. Today's text this morning is from the birth stories from Matthew, as Matthew records them for us. Matthew, if you're familiar with it, if you've looked at the beginning of the book of Matthew, you see a genealogy that Matthew begins with, tracing Jesus' lineage from Abraham through David, through the exile to Babylon as the people were taken away, and then back again, and then to Jesus' parents, to Jesus' mother and adopted father, in a sense, and then his birth. He continues then, Matthew does, with five different fulfillments of the Old Testament, of the prophets, of things that would happen that would be in the Messiah's life, the Savior. And they're related to Jesus' birth, the things that he focuses on here. Some of these are direct prophecy, something stated that something will happen. Others are more of a sense of a fulfillment of what God is doing through the people Israel to save the world that has begun in the Old Testament. Two of them already happened before our text. The first one is the virgin birth that comes from a prophecy about a child that would be born. And there, you know, there probably was a child that was born to partially fulfill that prophecy, not a virgin in the Old Testament, but a young woman. But then that prophecy was more fully fulfilled when the baby Messiah was born to a virgin girl. Born in Bethlehem is the next prophecy. That's the most direct prophecy of the five that Matthew makes reference to here. As Micah says, basically, the ruler and the shepherd of God's people will be born in Bethlehem. Pretty straightforward. That's what the scribes in Jerusalem looked up when the wise men came, searching for the ruler of the Israelites. They came and they looked up. He would be born in Bethlehem. And so they went to search. That was a direct prophecy. That was told to those wise men. And they came and worshiped Jesus. And then they left. And we have three more prophecies in our text today. Just before our text, the wise men were warned not to go back to Herod to tell him where this baby was. The warning was because of what was in Herod's heart, not to worship, but to destroy. And so they went home by another way. And we find out why that is now in our text that we'll read here. Our text is from Matthew 2, 13 through 23. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. Matthew 2, 13 through 23, reading in Jesus' name. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea. In place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that he would be called a Nazarene. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus' birth and what it means for us. And as we hear the things that he went through even early in his life here, running for his life, his parents taking him away, and then bringing him back, raising him up, and all of these things in your plan. And as we consider what that plan is for the world and for us, I ask that you would guide us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll invite any of the kids that want to come up. All right, come on up. We have a few more. Okay. All right, guy, come on over here. We got some seats over here. Okay. Hey, guys, does any of you know? Oh, yeah, still coming up. Okay, good. Oh, another one? All right. Does any of you know what happened? One more, yeah, okay. All right, stragglers. That's okay. Hey, does anybody know here what happens on the first Wednesday of the month in the middle of the day? There's something that you might hear. Does anybody know what that is? Has anybody heard that? You might have a thought. What? Yeah, there's a warning, right? Like a tornado warning, or you know, that's often what we think about of it as. Is, you know, if there's some sort of weather, a tornado is the big thing that we might think about. It's a warning. It's a test, right? To make sure it's working. You can hear it. People know. They know what to listen for. It's a test, right? What would you do if you heard that and it's not the first Wednesday of the month in the middle of the day? What would you do? You might see some storm clouds outside, too, at the same time. But what would you do? Do you know what you would do? What would you do if there might be a tornado? Anybody know?
Go into the basement.
Go into the basement, yeah? Especially if you're in a building with a basement, you go into the basement.
What if the tornado pulled apart your house, you could just go in a ditch and...
All right, so if it pulled apart your house, you could go in a ditch and cover up in the ditch, right? Someplace low, right, would be a great place. The idea is that if you get a warning...
Dig a hole?
You might not quite have enough time, but maybe. Go down in. Okay. Yeah. You know, if you got enough time, dig a hole. Get down in it. Yeah. Okay. So, the point is that if you have a warning, did you have a thought too? What would you do? You can tell me later. All right. We'll come back. Okay.
Put cement on it.
There probably isn't enough time when the warning comes. You got a whole plan, though. That's good. That's good. Yep, duck down in. Great. It's good to do that in advance, isn't it? If you hear a warning, it's good to take cover or get away from what the danger is, right? Also, you might need somebody to help you to get out of danger. That's kind of what we're thinking of today. Did you hear Joseph had some dreams? Would that be crazy to have some dreams or for an angel to talk to you ever? Yeah, that would be a little crazy. But the angel warned him, get away. And then he told him when it was time to come back. He was guiding him a little bit in that. But it's important to think about, what we're thinking about today is the warning and then also the rescue, somebody helping us and saving us. So that's what we have today. I have a little picture on here of Joseph dreaming, and there's the angel. Let's see, maybe we'll go this way today. And here you go. Could you help me hand those out? Another time. I think I got you guys last week, so I don't know. It's hard to keep track of who gets the handout every week. All right, thanks for coming up, guys. Well, we're thinking of the theme of rescue. Rescue. Do you feel like you need to be rescued? You want to give them back to me? Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Anybody else want one? Any takers? They're right there if you want to come up. Anybody feel like you need to be rescued? I think as we go through life day by day here, you know, we probably don't feel the need to be rescued. But the reality is that we do all need rescue. We need rescue from danger around us. And maybe it's not imminent danger most of the time. Maybe we never face a really dangerous situation in our life, but there's danger in the world. And maybe part of it is the place that we live. We have kind of some protections from danger that others might face in other places. That might be the case. We need protection and rescue from the devil, from his evil designs toward us, towards the world, trying to draw us away from God. We need rescue from ourselves, really, and our own rebellious natures. We need rescue. What does that rescue look like? How has God worked that rescue out in our lives? How does he continue to work out the rescue that he has for us? The first part of our text today continues the story of Jesus, the newborn child, the newborn baby boy. The wise men have visited him, have worshipped him, probably several weeks or months after his birth. Maybe even a year or more after his birth. So, the nativity scenes, the wise men were probably not there for a group photo with the shepherds and everybody else on the night of Jesus' birth. Probably didn't happen, they were probably there later. Luke records some other details of Jesus' life for us, being dedicated at the temple after 8 days. All of those things would have already happened, and now they, for whatever reason, maybe because of the ease of being there, Joseph and Mary have continued on in Bethlehem, have not left, and the wise men find them there, and they're, by all appearances, planning to continue living there, apparently. But there's danger. The child is at risk. King Herod has heard about a king of the Jews, and he wants no challengers. After the wise men have left, they had a dream telling them to go by another way back to their own country. Probably the same night that they had a dream, Joseph also had a dream. Get up. Take the child and his mother. Escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search to try to kill the child. So Joseph got up. He did what he was told. He took the child. He took his mother, Mary, during the night. They left for Egypt, and they stayed there until the death of Herod. Matthew talks about the return a little bit in a minute, but first he says this, "And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" The prophet that Matthew makes reference to here is Hosea, but it wasn't a direct prophecy. If you look at the chapter where you find that verse from, you find that he is talking about Israel having been called out of Egypt as the people of Israel, as God brought them out as a new nation, and God called the nation of Israel his son, and he brought his son out of Egypt. As God has rescued his son, Israel, now he rescues his son, Jesus. And in that, we find the fulfillment of the statement of what God did before. He does it in a more focused way now. And he brings his son, as he brought Israel to the promised land, eventually then, as he brings him out of Egypt, he brings Jesus to the promised land for a purpose. Israel, his son, was brought as a nation. Jesus, his son, a person, is brought with a purpose. And Jesus fulfilled the purpose that Israel, the nation, had. It was all really focused on him. So as God brought Israel out those centuries before, he now brings his son Jesus out for his purposes for the world. And that's where we find the rescue. But we'll come back to that. First, we'll go back to the rescue of Jesus. Herod realized that these wise men were not coming back. I don't know how long it took him to realize that. Jerusalem was not very far. Bethlehem was not very far from Jerusalem. He noticed he was outwitted by them. Now, it's interesting, that word outwitted, in the sense that he knew his scheme to kill the baby. He knew he had lied to the wise men. And so, in some way, they had outwitted his plan to kill. As he had said, "I'll go worship him too." But they outwitted him. That was through the dream. God did it. It should have been pretty quick for them to go to Jerusalem and come back, several miles away. Hours of travel on foot, but not a terribly great distance. It wouldn't have taken many days. So this must have happened very quickly. Herod finds out. They're not coming back. So he orders the death of all children age 2 and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas. Now, as an aside, some might say Jesus was probably 2 years old when this happened because of this. But the reality is we don't really know. It was based on the time that the wise men saw the star in the east, but, you know, we don't know when the star appeared either. When did it happen in relation to Jesus' birth? We don't know exactly when all that happened. Could be a few weeks or up to 2 years. If I were Herod, I would think I would leave some cushion, right? Extra cushion, just to make sure, leave an extra cushion. 2 years old and under. We make sure we get this child. Whatever the case, all the boys, 2 years old and under, in the community and its surroundings were killed. Probably not hundreds. Bethlehem was a small town. Maybe dozens. Still tragic. Not big enough to find a record in any of the other Roman... there were so many things like this happening in that day that this didn't even find its way into the historical records that we have found. And so people say, well, it probably didn't happen. The reality is that by scale, it was small. And yet, for that community, tragic. All the boys, 2 and under, killed. It was a community event. It was a community tragedy. It was a community pain for years to come. And Matthew makes reference of another prophecy here. He says, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now, again, we find that this is not a prophecy specifically looking only at the future to the coming of the Messiah and to this particular event. This verse is in the middle of actually a chapter of good news for the people of Israel. As they were being carried into exile, Jeremiah was writing for them that they would return, that they would be brought back, that God would rescue them, that God would make a new covenant with them. But here, in the middle of that chapter of hope, the weeping and the sorrow is recognized. Ramah, the town mentioned, is near Jerusalem, not in the same direction as Bethlehem, but near Jerusalem as well. It's the place where the exiles, being taken out of Jerusalem and out of the land, were gathered together to be registered by the Babylonians as they were taken away into Babylon. As we hear about Rachel weeping, Rachel being the favored wife of Jacob, also known as Israel, representing the nation as a mother caring for them, she is weeping for them. So the original words here were not directly about the Messiah, but also, the prophecy was about the Messiah. As this weeping is associated with tragedy for the nation, is there a rescue in this? The people were carried away. The baby boys were killed. Where is the rescue? The last prophecy here, after Herod had died, there's another dream. Joseph has another dream guiding him. Get up, take the child and the mother, go to the land of Israel. Interesting that it's phrased that way. It's the only time in the New Testament they talk about that land as the land of Israel. We're bringing back the memories of what God had done in the Old Testament, his plans for his people, his plans for the nation, for the world. Go to the land of Israel. The danger was gone. Those trying to kill the child are now dead. The imminent danger from Herod was gone, but it was still a little bit dangerous there. Archelaus was dangerous. He was out to kill those who might take his throne as well. So even though he wasn't after this child that his father was after, he maybe had no particular knowledge or concern about that, or maybe he thought it was taken care of. But still, Judea was a place that would be dangerous, thinking of going back to Bethlehem, probably. And so he returned, and instead they went to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Now, Matthew just tells us, like he happened to go there. Luke tells us, well, that's where they had lived earlier. And so it was a place that was known. It was a natural place for them to go then. If they weren't going to be in Judea, they would go to Nazareth. And out of the five prophecies that Matthew mentions and the three that we are looking at today, this is the strangest one of them. Matthew says, so was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that he would be called a Nazarene. Now, no one actually said that. No one in the Old Testament actually said he would be called a Nazarene. It's not there. That's probably why Matthew words things the way that he does. He says this is said through the prophets, not something that was stated by the prophets or even a particular prophet. And this statement that he would be called a Nazarene is symbolic of what they said, of what they did say. It has to do with the whole theme of rescue and how the Messiah would be treated as he came into the world. We'll come back to that in a moment, but for the time being, let's come back to the children in Bethlehem, because that's connected here as well. I have in the bulletin there, if you're looking at the notes, what about the children? What about the children? You know, Jesus was rescued. What about the children in Bethlehem, the other children? If God can perform a rescue and save Jesus from Herod, why not the others? Why the tragedy in Bethlehem? And there are those who object and say, this story itself shows that the Bible and what you say about God, it just can't be true. Doesn't God care? If God did not care to save them, does he really love people? What about these children? Can we blame God and say, this is terrible what he allowed to happen there? Can we do that? What can we say to that? Well, first, we acknowledge that God does care. The very fact that we see the themes of weeping in the words that he gave to the prophets and then quoted in Matthew here, God knows. God knows. He expresses his own pain at his people, at his children, suffering. God knows. He does love. He does care. The second thing we might note is that these deaths were obviously tragic. But, as I mentioned before, first of all, there are many in the world, but if we think about all of history, there are tragic deaths all over the place. And these few children that were killed, tragic, yes. But think about all the deaths that have happened in the world. Why would we ask God to save these children and not all of them in all of history? There's tragedy all over the place. We might as well then, if we're going to blame God for this, blame God for every evil that happens in the world. And then this then leads to the third observation here, that really Herod was to blame here. Herod was the one who was acting in evil to try to wipe out anyone who may challenge him. And if he could, just as Satan would, he would wipe out God if he could in his evil desires. But beyond Herod, I think it would be right to say that we could also blame ourselves. If we're going to blame somebody beyond Herod, we might as well blame ourselves as much as we might blame God. Evil exists in the world because humans rebel. That's why people die. That's why tragedy happens. That's why even these babies and young children die, is because of the rebellion that exists in the world, and we are guilty of it. And so a fourth thing that we notice here is that the most dramatic rescue that we read about here goes beyond Jesus being rescued as a baby. As we think about the stories of Jesus' birth, Christmas time, for those that maybe don't believe in the whole story of the Bible, or maybe even for those of us who do, sometimes the theme of Christmas can seem to be the idea of hope in a little baby. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's special that God saved Jesus from those who were trying to kill him. But that's not where the real hope here is. What was Jesus being saved for? If we look ahead, we sang about it in several of our songs this morning. What was coming? God did not save him from the tragedy in Bethlehem so that he could grow up in Egypt and learn a skill and make a good living. That's not what he was saved for. He was rescued from death in Bethlehem so that he could go to the cross. Another tragic death. That's what he was rescued for. At the right time. As Galatians, our reading from Galatians says, a timely rescue. The timely rescue of Jesus in Bethlehem from Herod's men who would come to kill him was done so that later he could perform a timely rescue of the world by giving his life. The prophets talk about the Messiah, God's servant, being despised and rejected by people. That's what this idea of Nazarene means. That he would be called a Nazarene. That's the way in which this was prophesied. We hear Nathanael's words in the Bible, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Even in Galilee was the backwater part of the country, and Nazareth was the worst of it. Where would we think of that being today? I mean, are we, hillbilly from somewhere in West Virginia, right? That's Nazareth. Looked down on by everyone. That's who Jesus would be. But he would come to save us, even though he is looked down on and rejected. So we hear the story of Jesus' rescue, miraculous rescue from those who would kill him at just after his birth. We hear the story of God's plan working out. We know what comes later. We know that the rescue plan that saved Jesus as a boy was headed for a rescue plan in which Jesus saves the whole world, in which Jesus rescues us. Do we need rescue? I think we can truthfully, 100%, with 100% certainty, say more than we know. Even if we know we need rescue, we don't even know the half of it. We need rescue. We need God's timely rescue. And as we hear the good news, some of us at earlier times in our lives, some of us at later times in our lives, but when we hear it, whenever we heard it and hear it, it is always timely for God's timely rescue. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the rescue of Jesus in Bethlehem. We hear with sadness the story of the babies, the boys that were killed. We think in sadness as well of all those who have died because of the sin that exists in the world and in our hearts. We thank you that you rescued Jesus in that moment so that later on he could go and do what he needed to do to rescue us from sin, death, and the devil, and our own human nature. Help us to trust in that. Help us to receive your rescue with joy and gladness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.